So despite being a Christian, do you ever go through times of fear or of doubt or of feeling forlorn? Or despite knowing that the Bible says that Jesus indwells you, that the Son of God is in you by his Spirit, do you still sometimes go through periods of feeling empty and overwhelmed by darkness and fear? I do. Basically, at the end of every school holiday. No, I know. It's not kind of really what I'm talking about. You know what I mean. Even as a Christian, we can go through real, genuine times of darkness. Interestingly, in terms of what can bring those times of darkness about, I was thinking about what happened earlier on this week. I don't think she's here, so I won't be embarrassing her. But Grace was allowed by her dad to watch this ridiculous cartoon involving these green kind of giant things that kind of lurk around in the garden. And it was a ewe. I thought it was fairly harmless. But about half an hour after being sent to bed, I heard her whimpering on the landing. And so I went up and said, "What's the matter?" And she was just filled with fear about these green things possibly coming into her bedroom or something like this. And so I explained. I said, "You know, nothing's changed compared to how you felt last night. Nothing's changed in the house or the night before or for the last 9 years. Nothing's different." It was all just in her mind, driven by wrong-headed thoughts. And that is what we can sometimes be like as Christians. We can have wrong-headed thoughts about God and how he sees us. And hopefully, as we consider the harvest verses that we're looking at this evening, very briefly, hopefully we can undo some of those wrong-headed thoughts. Here are the verses. There's two of them. Genesis, I love them both. So Genesis 8, verse 22, very familiar. It says, just after the flood, you know, Noah's just got off the ark, and you know what's coming. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So that must have been very comforting. After all of the chaos in creation that Noah had just been through, to have that order being promised by God of future blessing must have been great, very comforting. That's one verse. And the second verse picks up on the same sort of theme, really. Jeremiah 33, verse 20. And it says this: "Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night will not come at their appointed time, then also my covenant with David, my servant, may be broken, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne." I'm going to read that one again. Just listen to this one more time. "Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night will not come at their appointed time, then also my covenant with David my servant may be broken, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne." Now, I'm not going to assume that you know what all that's talking about. So just very, very briefly, you've probably all heard of David and Goliath. No doubt, in the Old Testament, David, as a 17-year-old young man, went up against Goliath and just through faith in God was able to slew this gigantic warrior. And eventually he becomes the greatest king of Israel. And highly esteemed and loved by his people. And God gave him the most extraordinary promise. And we read about it in 2 Samuel 7. Listen to this. God says this to David: "I will set your seed or your offspring after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." So God says to David that from his line would come this king at some point who would be a king forever. Not even death would end his reign. He would be the everlasting king. And in Jeremiah, we hear that that promise is so secure that you have to break day and night to try and break that promise. It is utterly dependable. And that king is Jesus, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And for as long as day and night endure, that royal line, King Jesus, will reign forever. Every season that passes through your life should remind you that the Son of David, King Jesus, is reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he continues to reign until all of his enemies are going to be made a footstool under his feet. And the seasons and the harvest time and the day and the night are constant testimony that God will keep that promise. Now, what does that mean? To have Jesus on the throne and to be reminded of that each harvest time. What does it mean? Well, just a few things that that means. With Jesus on the throne, his mercy is being poured out to you day after day. So then as you wrap up this winter time, feeling the sort of biting cold, and you say to yourself, you know, by sending this cold weather, God, my Heavenly Father, you have kindly confirmed to me this covenant that you have made, saying that Jesus is my Lord and my King, and he is still on the throne. That's what every cold and bitter day should remind you of. As every morning sunrise greets your eyes, you should be saying in your heart, this new day, again, shows me that Jesus is still on the throne of heaven. Praise be to God. And when the shadows of the evening appear, every day, as they do, and the sky starts to get dark, and the stars start peeking out from their places above, know that they are all speaking to you, and they are all saying this one thing, your loving King Jesus, the one who was promised by your loving Heavenly Father, he is still reigning on high in heaven, and he is still the King of Kings, and he still loves you, and he is faithful to his promises, do you? His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and of his kingdom there is no end. The Lord Jesus is head over all things while the earth remains and while day and night continue. Isn't that wonderful? Now, do you face challenges in your life at this harvest time? Do you have pain in your life? Is there turmoil deep within your souls for whatever reason? Is there turmoil in your family life? Are your relationships teetering in some area of your life? Are you under immense pressure without and from within at this time? Do you think so much of these things and your own sinfulness as well, not to mention that you even doubt the closeness of your Saviour, the Lord, and his willingness to carry you through these times? Does he feel distant from you? Is that where you're at, maybe? Well, to think like that is a little bit like to be like a person at the foot of Niagara Falls with a half-empty cup of water, and you're sort of sipping it through, and you're just worried a little bit as to whether or not there's going to be enough water to fill your cup after you've drunk that down and you feel thirsty again. When right above you, there is this raging torrent of utter water everywhere, just pouring down upon you. And that is what it is like to be a child of this living God this harvest time, with the King of Kings being testified as still on the throne and still pouring out upon you his blessings day after day. Whether you feel them or not, God's love for you in Christ is utterly steadfast and secure. And the day and the night, and the winter, the summer, autumn, all of them are shouting at you, God's mercy is still pouring down upon you, even as you sit here this evening, if you are a child of the living God and you know Christ as your Saviour. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works, says the psalmist in Psalm 145. Jesus is on the throne, and do you know what? He loves to bless you. Luke 12:32 just reminds us of that. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He loves to bless. It is the pleasure in the heart of God to bless you and be merciful towards you. So while winter chills and summer burns, while the day calls you to work and the night calls you to rest, your great King, the Lord Jesus, continues to cleanse you, to speak to your Heavenly Father for you and to present your offerings to God. You know, the wax and the wane of the moon, it's appearing and fading night after night. They all shout to you. Listen to their voice, that Jesus' love-soaked sacrifice for you on the cross remains full of power to completely secure your forgiveness. So as the day comes near when you walk about this winter on frozen, hard soil and it's crunching underneath you as hard as iron, and as you shiver in biting, frosty wind, as you go to your bed or as you get out of it, I remember Sharon always telling me what it was like at the Elms over in the top corner, and watching her breath at night and watching her breath in the morning if Clifford hadn't put a log fire on. As you're remembering in the midst of this freezing cold winter that might be heading our way, if the weather forecast is to be believed, just remember that day and night are a pledge to you that the Lord Jesus is your priest forever. He is your closest friend forever. He is your powerful shepherd, the lover of your souls forever. He is guiding your steps below, and he is preparing right now your place above. And there is nothing surer in this universe. But also, what does it mean to be reminded at this time of harvest, as Jeremiah would have us reminded, as God would have us reminded, as we look at the seasons and remember that Jesus is still on the throne because that covenant with day and night still keeps going, so Jesus must be on the throne. What else does that mean for you as one of God's children? Well, it means that you have the greatest friend in the universe this evening. Imagine a sort of child falls from a boat in shark-infested waters, and on some cruise somewhere, and the father sees them go over, and despite having watched Jaws when he was younger, the father jumps in without a moment's hesitation and puts himself between the child and the encircling fin, and just follows the fin around, protecting the child. And then the boat comes back, and they both get lifted out of the water, but the child was able to see this love of their father for them, a willingness to lay down his life and be chewed into bits for his child. And then imagine that for the next 5 years, each time that father has to chastise their child for going wrong in one way or another, and rebukes them and reproves them, as every loving father should, imagine that the child starts to wonder whether or not that love is still there, and starts to wonder whether or not actually they've blown it this time, and that the love is gone, it's been removed. Well, that would be crazy of that child. Having seen the willingness of the father to lay down their life, how much more is that father going to give them all things? In the same way, Jesus, we're reminded, as he is seated on the throne, we're reminded every harvest time that this King of Kings and Lord of Lords gave his life for you. He was willing to be turned into a bloodied pulp upon the cross and suffer in his soul being abandoned by his Father in heaven. Cast away from his Father. The anguish of which we cannot even comprehend. It's beyond us. And he did that willingly, knowingly. He could have called down a legion of angels to rescue him. He could have ended the torment there and then. But he loved you so much that he gave his life for you. And your Father in heaven loves you so much that he gave his Son to die in that way for you. And so you have this evening, if you have trusted in this King of Kings, you have the greatest friend in the universe. No matter what you may be feeling or going through, whatever circumstances may be going on in your life, whatever is dominating your thoughts as you put your head on the pillow, or what floods into your mind as you wake up, whatever worries and anxieties may be weighing down upon you, the truth is, you mustn't be like Grace on the landing and have wrong-headed thoughts about God's relationship with you. You are loved, and he is your friend, and he is carrying you through whatever you are going through if you are safe in Christ tonight. And we know that because Christ is still on the throne, and we know that not just because the word says it plainly, but because the seasons and day and night shout at us that Jesus, the covenant that God has with us through Jesus, remains day after day. Your loving shepherd is still there. So while seed time and harvest, cold and heat continue, the Lord will maintain you, his people. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against you. Folks who you hoped had been faithful, who may have turned away from the truth, there might have been even ministers, people who you regarded as real pillars in the church of the Lord God, people who you esteemed to be real saints, godly people, who may have fallen away and turned out to be hypocrites. That may have happened. Nonetheless, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. The Lord has kept a group of faithful people, and he will always keep a group of faithful people for as long as the earth endures. So be encouraged. And never worry or tremble for the cause of Christ. And never doubt his friendship towards you, no matter what you're going through. So what else can we be reminded of at this harvest time as we look to creation and it's shouting back at us about this covenant that God has made with us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? What else does it speak to us about? And thirdly and finally, really, we have so many reasons to be thankful towards God and to praise him this evening. You know, imagine, again, just bear with me now. Just imagine you had a boss who gave you 10 times the amount of pay that anybody in your position in any other company across the country ever got. And they shower you with perks. You get free food and varied coffees from the canteen, you get free gym membership and free access to the health suite, even a snow room, you know, it's a strange concept, isn't it? Anyway, we're going to go into that. You get free massage whenever you feel a bit stressed at work, and no matter how many mistakes you make, your boss's generosity just keeps flowing in ever-increasing abundance towards you. Wouldn't that be lovely? And let's just assume this is happening in a not very creeped out way, okay? This is all perfectly legitimate. He's just a kind-hearted boss. No strings attached. Now, what if you responded to that boss by reminding him 10 times a day about that mistake you made last year on one of those spreadsheets? And you just languished in misery and guilt and shame because of, you know, the cost that was incurred to your boss's company, and you just felt you had to keep on telling him about it. Well, that's what it is like if, as a Christian, you dwell far more on confessing your sin to God than on thanking him for what he has done for you. Now, Richard Baxter, a godly Puritan preacher, advised his parishioners to praise and give thanks more than they confess. You know, Baxter reminded his depressed and anxious parishioners that, you know, our duty to give thanks and praise for forgiveness outweighs our duty to confess our sin, our misery and our complaints. Now, of course, don't get me wrong, we need to confess our sin. Of course we do. That goes without saying. But I remember watching, I don't know if anybody's seen it, the film Amazing Grace. And I was so excited about it because the story of John Newton coming to know Jesus after being an evil slave trader who treated other human beings with utter contempt. I remember being so excited about this film that I took an entire year group from school down to watch it without actually seeing it first. And I was so disappointed because they have this John Newton laboring under the guilt of his former life, mopping floors in this church building, doing penance day after day, unable to escape from his own sense of guilt and misery and shame, feeling that that was what God wanted. And I don't believe for one moment, having listened to the hymn Amazing Grace, that that was my brother John Newton's lifestyle at all. The film got it woefully wrong. Baxter says, if you cannot mention mercy as thankfully as you would like, or mention God's excellencies with a degree of devotion and praise as you would, nevertheless, do what you can and mention them as you are able. You know, the weight of having your sin washed away by this King Jesus who is seated on the throne, surely that should dominate our thinking and drown out any sense of misery that can permeate our whole lives if we have a wrong-headed view of God's thoughts towards us. He loves you. He loves you so much. We can't even take in how much he loves us. We see his son taking our sin on the cross for us. How can we doubt that as we stumble as we do in many, many ways, that that fresh sprinkling of blood will not wash us afresh again and again and again and again until we see him face to face, the perfect you, all sin removed forever and never to reappear, as you see your Saviour and become like him in glory above. So praise God this harvest time, which as we remember that he is still on the throne, that his covenant remains secure, that his love for us holds firm, and his friendship towards us has not dissipated one iota. Asaph, that marvellous counsellor, psalmist for the discouraged, speaks from his own discouragement and he says, will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favourable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? He's a godly man going through some dark times. But then he determines to reflect on the past goodness of the Lord. And he says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all of your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. He deliberately, intentionally focuses on the truths of the gospel, of the wonder of creation, the fact that God spoke the universe into being, is awesome in power, and yet knows you by name, and knows every hair upon your head is numbered by him. Not a single sitting down or rising up happens in your life aside of your loving shepherd watching over it. We can and we should do the same as Asaph and expect to recover hope in a similar way if we've drifted away from right thoughts of our wonderful risen King. So God's faithfulness in bringing the seasons, in bringing the day and the night, which God has said means that his Son, your Saviour, is still on the everlasting throne, is a great place to start in remembering the blessings in the midst of the darkness. So just to finish then, this evening. Very, very common that I bring this illustration to your attention, but I just love it, and it fits wonderfully well with that first verse that we read. You know, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night will not come at their appointed time, then also my covenant with David my servant may be broken, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne. So the idea of Jesus reigning on the throne, being reminded of that because of the harvest, and just reminds me of that chap who wrote The Lord's My Shepherd, Douglas Macmillan, basically he said that when he was a little child, there was a real problem with foxes taking lambs. His father was a shepherd, had a big farm, and his father decided to deal with this fox that was taking so many of his lambs. And he watched from a hill with a big rifle, and just waited. And he watched as this fox appeared from a bush and started rounding up all the weak and frail lambs. And he was amazed by its skill. As a matter of fact, that was an aside. It's not really relevant to the illustration, but he was amazed by its skill, and it drove them into this boggy area, and it was just about to pounce. And the thing that struck him many years later was the bleating of these lambs, the sheer terror as they faced down this fox. And they knew that their power and their strength was utterly futile in the face of what was coming at them. And they were helpless. And yet, up on the hill, there was one who had the whole situation in control, and who had the power to bring down the fox at any moment. And that being a wonderful picture of what it is to be a believer right now, someone who knows Jesus, no matter what troubles you are facing, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter how overwhelming it may feel, Jesus is on the throne. He is in control. He has got you safe in his hands. He is watching over you and has all power in the universe and beyond at his ability to dispense it in order for your good. And he is working everything together for your good. There is nothing glib in that. There is nothing glib, even when you share that with someone going through really genuine trials. It is the truth. The shepherd is on high, and he watches over and loves you. If there is anyone here this evening who doesn't know God, then we feel, and I say this with great care, we feel deeply sorry for you. We really do. To you, all the seasons must seem blank, for God isn't in them. You see the world as a bleak place without God. It's cold, an empty corridor without God, heading inexorably to death. You're an orphan without a creator as your father. Life is hopeless, and death is a starless night. If you do not know and feel the staggering love of Jesus, if only you stop just to listen to the truth and started to believe the truth, that all that you have heard about, that God promised to send his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. If only you just took that in and just believed the truth of it, then you might begin to know and feel the love of Jesus in your life as we know it, so that all of that darkness is dispelled, as the light of the world comes flooding in to your hearts, and you come to know peace with God. What is stopping you from trusting your soul to Jesus? What is stopping you from finding the very meaning of life itself? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And as you come to know him, you'll see in all that smiles or rages around you, in our changing weather and seasons, pledges of the love of your Heavenly Father. Signs of his grace, the grace of his Son, and the witness of the work of his Holy Spirit. Let's turn to him in prayer now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your many rich blessings upon us this harvest time. Father, we thank you that just as you promised Noah that the seasons would roll one after the other until the end of time, Father, we praise you that once again we're reminded as the nights get dark that you are keeping your promise. You always keep your promise day after day after day. And Father, we thank you that your word tells us that this should remind us that your Son, the forever King that you promised to David, is still seated on the throne of heaven above, and none can shake him from that place. And that means that your mercy is still pouring down upon us as your children. We thank you and praise you that we are here this evening knowing that we are loved with an everlasting love, with a steadfast love. Father, we thank you that you are still our shepherd who watches over us every single moment of our lives. And Father, we pray that these truths may come in greater power than ever before upon those who are here this evening who are going through dark times, who are going through real turmoil. And Father, we pray that you would drive these truths deep in their hearts, that they may know real peace, peace with you, their Father who loves them, and peace with their wonderful Saviour who gave his life for them and who is risen, never again to die, forever their King, one with whom they will one day be united, up in glory above. In Jesus' name we pray for these. Amen. Amen. Amen.